There are many keys to proper biblical understanding. One of them is simply this. One, plain, easy to be understood, incontrovertible scripture can not be interpreted by an ambiguous or a very difficult to be understood scripture. It's just like the collection of facts or data in arriving at a conclusion if you're having to do with hypotheses and trying to come up with the idea of certain theories which might represent a physical law in the physical sciences. You postulate thus and such. You say, if this is so, then maybe A, B, and C are also so. But then you have to go out and gather facts and data to try to support your hypotheses. If the hypothesis finally is supported by sufficient data or facts, you might say that you have observed that such and such is so. And as long as you continue to collect evidence and it continues to support your theory or your hypothesis, then that's fine. But when the evidence begins to contradict it, then you have a problem here. Because evidence or data or facts must suit the theory, or the theory must be altered to fit the facts. And oftentimes people will refuse to do that, even in eschatology, biblical prophecy, or areas of controversy such as evolution and creation. They will cling to the theory in spite of the fact that millions of tons of facts would tell them they ought to alter the theory. No, the theory stands in their minds and the facts have got to be ignored. Now, you can't do that in biblical prophecy. The one key to understanding the Bible is honesty. Honesty is the greatest key of all. If you are, in a sense, superior to the Bible in your own mind, it's just a book, and you're sort of above it, and it's beneath you, and you know better than the Bible, then, of course, you will pervert or twist, or you'll come up with all sorts of ideas about what you think the Bible says. But if you stand in awe of the Bible, if you look up to it, not down at it, if it is over you and above you, and it is the sacred word of Almighty God who is talking to you and revealing to you, and you're only interested in finding out not your will, not support for your idea, baby, the child of your imagination, but you're only trying to find out what is His will, then you have the key to biblical understanding. He says in Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2, to this man will I look, to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembles at my word. Trembling before the word of God, being afraid to misinterpret it, being fearful to try to misunderstand it, being afraid to put your thoughts and your ideas into it, and just drinking into your mind what it tells you is the key to biblical understanding. Now let's notice in this prophecy a quick example of how the Bible interprets the Bible and how you can come to understand. It says in verse 5, there was given unto him, this beast, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. All right, question. What is 42 months, or how long will this end time 10-nation conglomerate survive? 42 months, you could do a little quick arithmetic, using our present Gregorian calendar, our Roman calendar, and you could figure out the number of days, but you have a little problem there because you're dealing with days of differing lengths, such as 30 and 31, and once in a while 29, and a leap year sometimes 28. So you wouldn't come up with an exact figure in any one given year. But you're dealing here with an exact period of time according to biblical prophecy, and it only says 42 months. Now, we got to ask, in order to really arrive at a certain period of time, how many months in a year? Well, that should average out to be 12, let's face it. And let's see if our hypothesis, we're going to theorize or hypothesize that these are 12-month years, and if that is true, then this means 3 1/2 years. 42 months ends up being 3 1/2 years, 3 years of 12 months apiece, and then 6 more months, and you have 42 months. Now then, how many days in a month? Easy. Go to Revelation 12 and verse 6. And it says, the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, 1,260 days divided into years, if you take the number of biblical prophecy rather than the number of man, ends up 3 1/2 years. Now, if you do 365 days per year, you'll come out wrong. But you're not going to use 365 days a year, only 360, aren't you? Why? Because you're dealing with the Bible. You're not dealing with Romans. You're not dealing with Greeks. You're not dealing with Babylonians. You're dealing with the Word of God. And so what is this month? Of what duration is it? You have a clue right here. Here's where the Bible interprets the Bible. 1260 into 42 months ends up being exactly 3 1/2 years of 12 equal months of 30 days apiece. And so you have discovered that in biblical prophecy, God doesn't deal with months of varying lengths. He doesn't deal with leap years and intercalary years and so on. He deals only with 12 equal months of 30 days apiece. Now, the Bible talks about times. Let's take a look back in the 12th chapter in verse 14. And to the woman, again the church, were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. Now a time, let's hypothesize, is a year. And times, let's say, could be anything more than 1 year because it's merely plural. You have no clue beyond the internal evidence of that one verse itself that it's 42 times or 376 times. It just says time and then times. It's indeterminate. But we will postulate. We will speculate. It only means two, not three or five or seven, but only two. That means time and times is two times, makes three times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Well, you know that that's true, don't you? Because the context is identical to verse 6. The woman is given supernatural protection. The period of time of her protection is 1,203 score days. And so you have 1,260 years. And you see in verse 14, time and half a times means 3 1/2 years. And you see over in chapter 13 and in verse 6 that there are exactly 42 months. Well, the last line of verse 5, actually. 42 months. So you know that time, times, and half a time are 3 1/2 years. Now, how do you know that 1,260 days equals 1,260 years? Well, for that, you turn to Ezekiel 4, and you look at verse 6. I have appointed thee each day for a year, it says in that chapter. And you also look back in Deuteronomy, or Numbers rather, 14 and verse 34, where it says, after the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years. So you see two biblical examples of how God uses a day in biblical prophecy as a prediction that the event he is talking about is going to take place over the span of 1 year. And now you know exactly how long that Roman Empire will survive. 3 1/2 years, as we know them today.